Adam Pegilly, good morning to you, mate. How are you?
I'm not hungry anymore, Mido, after listening to that story.
Had you heard that before?
No, I hadn't.
No, neither had I. Couldn't believe
someone who has trouble with their eyesight like I do as well, I don't think I'd ever make that mistake.
Yeah, I've got bad eyes. Actually, I sent a text message to a mate of mine the other day, and he goes, what the hell was this? And when I put my glasses back on to look at it, you know when it just goes, like you want to say a word, texting a word, and it just gives a random word?
Oh, yeah.
What do they call it?
Autocorrect.
But it's not the correct word that you want to use
Of course, yeah.
And it was just...
It just made no sense at all.
Then I put my glasses on and understood what happened. So I haven't got the great eyesight. But I reckon I would notice a can of oil, the difference between a can of oil and a can of Mortine. Most of us would, wouldn't we? Well, our eyesight's not that bad.
You would have thought, but, you know, we all have our moments where we just... You know, vague, blasé, elsewhere.
Mm.
Racing, the Tab Hollandale Stakes, which will be at the Sunshine Coast, of course, on Saturday. It is race 7 on the card there at the Sunny Coast. Huetor is just favourite from Kovalika. They're $3.80 and $4 respectively, and both have drawn wide, Adam.
They have, Mido, and it's a little bit strange not to see Zaki in this race.
Yeah.
Because he's dominated for the last few years, and obviously won at the three successive occasions, but... Obviously, he's well into retirement now, so looking for a bit of a new breed to come through in these weight for age ranks in Queensland. I think Huetor's preparation sets up really well for a race like this heading towards the Doomben Cup. You'd think third up, coming off a win down in Sydney throughout the carnival, that's going to suit him really nicely. But I think Kovalika's got something to offer. We know he's been racing pretty consistently without having a whole lot of luck, and I know he was beaten a long way in that Pride of Jenny race in the Queensland Stakes, but I thought he did a good job to finish on the heels of Vitastina and Mr. Brightside. So Chris Wall's obviously freshening him up, giving him a bit of a break and try and get him ready for the Queensland part of the carnival. And clearly we've got Chuck Spokes heading north as well. So, yeah, fascinating little race on paper. Plenty of different betting angles you can take. But I know we've been talking about this Gold Coast track, Mido, and how disappointing it is that it's had the issues that it's had so far. But the one positive or one spin-off is that we get to see Sunshine Coast hold a big feature race meeting. So I'm looking forward to that.
Mm. And J-Mac's going to stick with I Wish I Win going forward, is he?
Yeah, no great surprises here, Loz, I don't think. But given he took the ride in the TJ mistakes and Luke Nolan's been struggling with his fitness for a while now, I think Peter Moody and Connections have decided to lock in J-Mac for the Winter Carnival. So I Wish I Win will head to the Doomben 10,000, I believe, at his next start, which is a logical next stepping stone for him, given he's had the one run in Sydney. And he'll have probably Australia's best jockey at the moment on board, and I'm sure they probably want to try and jag one or two more Group 1 wins before the end of the Winter Carnival up there in Brisbane.
Yulong paid, what, $2.6 million for the filly by Zoo Star out of Solar Charge, so a sister to Sunlight, called Clean Energy, which won on debut and recouped $39,650 there at Warwick Farm yesterday.
Still a long way to go, Mido, isn't it?
It's a good start, though.
It's a good start. Yeah, she showed she had a fair bit of ability, I thought, there yesterday. I don't want to get too carried away because it was a heavy 10 track and we don't know the quality of opposition, but... She only did what she could do yesterday at Warwick Farm, and I'd imagine that Jay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott, given how much that Yulong and Coolmore have paid for her to keep her, I suppose, in the family there, they want to try and get her to a stakes race, and she'll be heading up to Queensland later in her preparation for some stakes races up there, and if she gets some black top on her pedigree, then I wouldn't say it's almost pretty much job done, but it's close to, really, because she'll be a very valuable broodmare heading forward. So, yeah, I'd love to see her keep racing, obviously, for a couple of seasons. But from what we saw there yesterday, she's definitely got stakes potential.
Buddy, what's the latest with David Fifita and the Panthers?
Welcome back, Clarky, first.
Thank you, mate. Thanks for warming my seat as well. From all reports, you were brilliant.
Just one day, Clarky, just warming the seat. So,
thank you, champion.
Yeah, Fifita. Oh, I think we're getting very close to decision. I think there were some crunch talks being held last night on the Gold Coast about what he was going to do. Listen, I don't think my position's changed, guys, from yesterday. I think it's very unlikely he's going to stay at the Gold Coast now. Obviously, he's let this drag out right until, what is it, hours before the clause needs to be enacted for next year. If he was going to take up that clause, you would have thought he would have done it by now. So I still believe that Panthers might have just got their noses in front as it stands right now. I think they've made a big push for him in the last sort of 4 or 5 days. And when Penrith come knocking, I tell you what, it's hard to turn down. So it'll be a massive, massive coup for Penrith if they can get him, just given the amount of players they've lost in the last 4 or 5 years. And there's going to be a bit of a debate about the salary cap here, saying, well, if a player left Overfeet and goes to a club like Penrith, is the salary cap really working? And I can understand why some people say that, but on the flip side, Penrith have lost a lot of players over the last 3 or 4 years. So this might be just one they get back in return, and I'd expect some news a little bit later today, boys.
Just on that, though, Adam, because I reckon some teams might be a bit aggrieved that you have a player that leaves the club on $1.1 million and signs for less at another club. Like, how does that go down? Because people are obviously sceptical at times when they see players changing clubs for a lesser amount of money.
Yeah, it's a good question, Loz. I think a lot of people will be asking questions and saying, well, how can that happen? But you and I both know it's just natural. The guys will obviously take a little bit less to go to more successful clubs where they think they've got a chance of winning a premiership.
But I reckon what happens is, depending on which club they go to, that's where all the... If the Roosters didn't have all that money, like they get unfairly targeted at times, I think, the Roosters. You know, if they didn't have all this money and they signed for feeder, I reckon there'd be clubs going, oh, how can the Roosters sign for feeder on 800,000 when he's just coming off 1.1?
Yep. No, I completely understand what you're saying. But I think there's another issue involved with this, and almost a bigger issue, is that clubs that are willing to put in clauses in the contracts for some of their highest paid stars, and often you'll see it, it's clubs down the bottom of the ladder who are desperate to retain someone or desperate to recruit someone. Look what the Tigers are going through at the moment with Stefano Utuokamanu and all his clauses in his contract. Like, I've never heard of clauses like he's got in his contract at the moment about playing a certain amount of Origin games or the team making the finals in this year in 2024. I'll say one thing. Go and have a look on the NRL website and you see the signings tracker and have a look at Penrith's management of their salary cap and their roster. Of their top 30 guys that got contracted, guess what? Not one single one of them has any clauses in their contracts, according to that. When they sign for the club, they sign for a period, and that's it. So they're not sitting there every year and waiting till around 10 clause or waiting till they get to the end of the year where a player and a manager are thinking, oh, should we take up this option in our contract or should we push you for more money? They're straight up and down. They contract guys for a certain period, and that's it. They don't worry about all these clauses that in the player's favour or anything like that. And unfortunately, the Gold Coast went down this path with David Fifita and to a lesser extent, Tino Fasoamala-Awi. They play with fire and they're getting burnt. That's the reality, isn't it, Loss?
Sorry.
Huge drama here in the Champions League. It looked like Bayern Munich have equalised, like in the 13th minute of stoppage time. Is it being ruled out for offside here, I think?
Oh, I don't know whether
sorry,
it has
Adam,
been.
This has been a dramatic finish to this tie. And Bayern have put it in the back of the net. It looks like that's it, though. That it's been. I don't know why it was ruled out. Was it definitely offside?
He's going to have a look at it.
Yeah,
now.
There we go. The old VAR comes again. Anyway, out of the women's Origin side was announced yesterday as well for New South Wales.
Yeah, it was, Mido. And I'm really surprised to not see Jesse Southall involved. And it's a little bit hard because obviously they're not playing on the NRLW stage at the moment, so we're not getting to see them on a weekly basis, albeit they're playing in their respective state competitions. But wow, Newcastle won the comp last year. She's obviously an enormous talent, a fantastic talent. And for her not to retain her place this year, I thought was a little bit surprising. But we'll see the proof's in the pudding. Looking forward to that game, kicking off Magic Round. It'll be on next Thursday night at Suncorp, into a big few days for the NRL and the rest of the weekend's games.
Yeah, great way to start an awesome weekend. He looked onside to me, Lots.
Oh,
he's been ruled out. Oh, gee, that's devastating for Bayern. And how about a couple of these stories on the back on the text line and the back of Jared Duffy's revelation about he cooked, instead of using cooking spray, used mortine to cook his steak once. Similar to Duff's, Mozzie buzzing around the bedroom one summer night. I'm lying on the bed in the birthday suit. The wife goes, gets the mortine, gives the Mozzie the what for above the bed. I'm no longer half asleep when it starts to burn. She's hit me with the oven cleaner. Big dog from Coffs sending that one through.
A set up for sure.
Here we go. Not being a coffee drinker or using much sugar, I once prepared a hot Milo for a couple of hungover furniture removers. Unfortunately, I put MSG into the mug instead of sugar. Oh. You can imagine the vomiting, says Tim at Canberra. I've always been the cook in my relationships. Call me paranoid, but I just don't trust the other half. My ex decided to cook a couple of really nice scotch fillets, and I thought, why not? The smell was a bit funny. I let it slide. I went to cut into it. I realised she hadn't removed the plastic that sometimes comes around the steak. Her response was, is that supposed to come off? Cost me three quarters of a house and half my super to get out of that, but it was worth it, says Hachi from the Heights as well. Sorry, Adam.
That's all right.
Have a good day, mate.
See you, boy.